Let's pray together. Father God, we open ourselves up to you this morning. We've come in worship. We've brought our tithes and offerings. And we come now to open our hearts to your word, knowing that you want to speak to us. And so give us hearts and minds and eyes and ears that are open to hear from you. Let us lean in afresh to your spirit. Give us courage and faith to respond as you call us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last couple of years with my older boys in Newcastle, we've been making our way through some of the great classic films of the 80s. I took my boys to the movies about 2 years ago, my older boys, and they said, "Dad, what were some of those films you watched back in the dark ages of the 1980s? I know some of you were still a figment in your parents' imagination then, but some of you remember the 80s. We made our way through a whole lot of great movies, see them there on the screen. And then it got to 1989, the last year in the decade. In 1989, I was a young journalist in the Newcastle Herald, a year I never forget because it was the year the earthquake hit Newcastle, a memorable year in our city. But when it came to watching a film for that year, we watched this one, Dead Poets Society. I'm sure many of you have seen the movie. It still speaks to a new generation today. As Robin Williams, playing a quirky teacher, John Keating, comes into a stuffy, conservative, private American school and dares raise the sights of his students who are caught up in fear and peer pressure and expectation. And in a sense, he kind of throws that aside and he invites them to look again and see more than their present circumstances. He raises their sight and introduces to them and to us a great Latin phrase that thankfully has stayed in our vocabulary ever since. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Having watched that movie in the middle of last year with my boys, I found myself the next day at Merriweather Beach. And I found myself, in a challenging time in my life. I had a great wife and a great family and a great network of colleagues and friends around me in Newcastle. I had a fantastic job with Baptist Care and I was heading towards 10 years in that job. But I felt like God was rattling the cage. I felt like God was pushing me out of my comfort zone. And so there I was at Merriweather Beach, one of the world's greatest beaches. We've been taking the kids to the beach down here, not quite the same as Merriweather Beach. But there I was sitting at the beach, and I dared pray this prayer, a dangerous prayer, a challenging prayer, but it may be a prayer that you need to pray in your heart today. God, shake me up. God, rattle the cage. God, I want more in my life. I want another significant season. I want a life of greater purpose. I want to count. I want more. I want my life to matter. I want influence. I want impact. I want to make a difference. Rattle the cage. Shake me in my comfort zone. And with that in mind, obviously these great words of Jesus came to mind for me. And I want to invite you to consider them afresh in your life this morning. I come that you may have life and have it to the full, that you may have life abundantly. Say this with me, will you? A life better than you could ever dream of. That's what Jesus comes to offer us, to bring us. A life better than we could ever dream of. And we all say, yes, we want that. But I'm sure, like me, you know the disconnect. Here are the promises of God for you and I this morning. Here is a life of greater purpose. Here is making an impact in my community and through Crossway. Here is building a great marriage. Here is a great God-honoring family. Here is a disciple that multiplies. Here is a life finally free of fear or condemnation. Here is a life free of addiction. Here is a life where I can be the person that Jesus has created me to be. Here is a life of promise. And here is that promise and that potential fulfilled. Here is the possession of that promise. Here is that vision being lived out in our lives on a daily basis. But as I sat at the beach 6 months ago, I knew I stood in the gap. And I'm sure many of us here this morning know that same experience, and we may be experiencing it in our lives today, that we are on the verge of the possession. We are on the verge of the promise. We're on the verge of new possibilities, but other things are getting in the way. That's the crunch. That's the disconnect that I'd like to invite us to consider this morning. Because Jesus didn't come that we might live life on the verge. He came that we might be people of carpe diem. That we might be people who seize the day, who seize the opportunity, who seize the moment, who seize new possibilities, new opportunities, new directions for our life this morning. And if you know the Holy Spirit is already speaking to you, can I invite you? Have courage this morning and lean in and invite the Spirit to consider where might, as Edie's already reminded us of this morning, where might chains need to be broken? Where might God need to do a new and a fresh work in our lives this morning? In Deuteronomy 1 verse 8, we see this challenge being played out. See, I have given you the land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers. Israel had been promised that their vision of God was pivotal in them taking the promised land. And here is a passage, a promise about that very land. God had promised it to them. Look at the verse, if we break it up. The promise. See, I have given you this land. It's theirs for the taking. God has given it to them. But Israel needs to take possession of the land. God has given it to them, but it's theirs for the taking. God wants us to experience fullness and wholeness in our life, but we have to grab hold of that. We have to take it. We have to grasp it afresh this morning. Israel had to move from promise to possession, to move from living on the verge to seizing the day for what God had for them. We find them on the verge in Numbers 13. They've come to the verge of the promised land, the verge of God's vision for their life, and we read these words. We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Moses has sent out the 12 spies to survey the land. A bit like if our senior pastor today picked 12 from amongst us and said, go and check out the city around us and come back and report on the opportunities and the challenges. And many of you will know the story. Joshua and Caleb come back and say, God has promised us the land. And yes, there are challenges. And yes, there are dangers and risks. But if God is with us, it is ours. But of course, for the other 10, fear overwhelms faith. In this particular case, and I haven't put it up on the screen because it's difficult to read, but they see all these ites in the land. They see Jebusites and Girgashites and Hivites and Perizzites. I spoke on this passage, this Numbers passage, a couple of years ago at a university group, and I quickly printed out the Bible reading and handed it out. And unfortunately, without looking at it, the spell check had corrected the Perizzites to the Presbyterians. And there was a new enemy in the land. And I grew up as a good Presbyterian, and I know they're good people. There was the land for the taking, but fear overwhelms faith. And a whole generation, bar two, misses out on what God has for his people. This morning, is fear robbing you of what God really wants for your life, for your marriage, for your relationship, for your neighborhood, for your mission? Is fear robbing you? Whenever I read this passage, I think about my rugby league playing days. I was a nifty little halfback for the western suburbs of Rosellas in Newcastle. I'm going through a code conversion having moved south. If you come to the open house today and walk past my office, you'll see a Sydney Swan scarf hanging. they're going to be my team in 2017. When I came to Melbourne, I was told I needed a team. I think they meant a Melbourne team, but go the Swans. And there I was lining up to play, and there was the opposition team across on the other side of the field, this rough and dirty team from Mount Hutton in a neighbouring suburb of Newcastle. And me and my seven-year-old lads on my team, we looked across, and there was the captain, and he was as big as TK standing there. And we said to our coach, we want to see their birth certificates. They're not 7 years old. Before the game had even begun, we had lost. Because fear had robbed us of what God had for us. Fear can rob us of our potential. And this morning, in my spirit, I sense there are people here who need to own that fear. And this morning, in Jesus' name, let it go. Let it go. Because the challenge is, will we seize or squander? Will we seize or squander? I know what it is in my life to squander opportunities, to squander moments in time, to squander seasons in life. I know what it is to squander and the pain of that. But this morning we belong and we worship a redemptive God, a God of grace, a good, good Father, Jesus who would give his all for us so that we again might come in grace, come in forgiveness and experience refreshment and renewal. And so if you're sitting in the auditorium today and your inner voice is saying squander, Jesus wants to transform that conversation to seize. Carpe diem, seize the day. And then we come to Joshua. This was the passage I was reading at the beach 6 months ago. Little did I know the impact of this passage and that prayer would have, that I'd end up here 6 months later, and I'm so excited to be here. And church, Crossway, God is at work here. We ought to be excited by what we see happening in the life of our church. People coming to Christ on a weekly basis, lives being transformed, ministries blossoming. Let's not take that for granted. Let's be humble, but let's celebrate. But the challenge, do we want to be a part of it? Every one of us uniquely wired and shaped and gifted differently. Do we want to be a part of what God is doing here? We stand on the verge. And Israel stood on the verge. And there we read in Joshua 3:1, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Acacia Grove. And they went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. There was kind of a buzz in the air. You can imagine it. Wow, we're going to be part of the generation that takes the land. There it is. It's coming. Tomorrow we'll be in the land. There's a buzz in the air. But notice what it says. It's early in the morning. Translated, it's dark. The sun hasn't yet rose. And then when the sun rises, verse 15, now the Jordan is at full flood stage during harvest. When Israel gets close, the whole nation, when they get close, what do they see? They see a raging river. A raging river, 65 kilometres an hour, the scholars suggest. 1.5 kilometres wide, 4 metres deep, with all the undercurrents around covered, all the nature covered, a river and a jungle in one, humanly impossible to cross. Uncrossable. Uncrossable. And so what does Joshua do with the mantle of leadership upon him? Does he call in the first regiment of Israel engineers to build a bridge to get them across? No. He recognizes this is a spiritual problem, a spiritual challenge. This is a day for faith and obedience. And so he calls in the priests and he gathers the priests and gives instructions to the priest to take out to the nation. It's time to change the conversation. It's time to change Israel's line of sight. I wonder, what's the inner voice saying to you today? Is the inner voice robbing you of potential? Is the inner voice holding you back? Is it time to push aside the inner voice and to hear the Spirit of God afresh in your life this morning? Joshua needed to change the conversation. And so he comes to Israel. And he says, we've got to change our focus. Their focus, a raging river. 40 years before that, Jebusites and Hittites and Perizzites, they keep seeing the challenges. They keep failing to seize the opportunities. It's time to change their focus. Friends, where's your focus this morning? What are you focused on in life this morning? Could it be that you're focusing on crisis or disappointment? Could it be that you're focusing on life where it is rather than life where God wants to take you? Could it be that it's a financial challenge or a faith challenge or a work challenge? What's the Jordan that you might be focusing on this morning that God wants to take you to the other side of? Alan Redpath, an Old Testament scholar, writes, Israel had a stark choice that day. They could focus on what seemed humanly impossible, or they could focus on what was divinely possible. You know, every day, in the small moments, the small decisions, as well as the big and extraordinary decisions in life, we face that same choice. We face that same choice. Where is your focus this morning? As I rode my bike to church this morning, coming down Burwood Road, I was struck by the fact that for some of us, what might seem uncrossable today has been championed by the cross. What seems uncrossable has been championed by Jesus, and the invitation for us to remember who we are called to be. Scott Pilgrim isn't called to primarily be a pastor at Crossway. I'm not called to be a church attender or someone who reads my Bible or someone who's actively involved in ministry. I'm called primarily to be a follower of Jesus, to be a passionate, dedicated, obedient disciple. And I can mess that up, but that's my calling, to invest my life in the ways and the works and the ways of Jesus. This morning, where's your focus? Where's your focus as a follower of Jesus? We're called to take our eyes off the river and turn our eyes back to Jesus this morning. And secondly, Israel needed to be spiritually prepared. They needed to be spiritually prepared. Look at verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Let's just pause for a second. There are churches today that have lost their way. There are churches today that are full of people who talk about what happens in days gone by, who'll hang on with some hope to what might happen in the future. We ought to celebrate today the God of amazing things and what he's doing here at Crossway. We open a new building today because of the grateful generosity, the faith and the goodness of this community. We believe in a God who still wants to do amazing things in our life today. Yours, not the person next to you, not the person in front of you, but in your life, a God of amazing things. But what did Israel have to do? Israel had to be spiritually prepared for God to come in a new and a fresh way. I know I can be presumptuous. I can be arrogant at times in my life and think, God, Why aren't I experiencing that full life that I want? Where's the power? Where's the fruit? God, I want more in my life. But I can be in a spiritually unhealthy place. In coming to change the conversation, Joshua says to Israel, you need to get yourself ready and right. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. For Israel, that was a 24-hour purification period. They need to be right with God. And don't lose sight of this, they need to be right with each other. Right with God, but also right with their brothers and sisters. That God would move amongst them in a new and a fresh way. It's ultimately a call to an obedience. And I don't say this in any harsh or judgmental way, I say it to myself as well this morning. Is there sin in our life that we need to own this morning? Is the apathy or laziness or hardness of heart? I sense in my spirit this morning there are a few people in the building here this morning who are living with old testimonies of what God has done, but God is saying to you today, it's time to claim a new and a fresh testimony in your life. Where might we need to be spiritually prepared? Is there a relationship that we know that we've got to get right so God can act? Israel had to change their focus. And they had to be spiritually prepared. And let's remind ourselves, as we've been singing in worship this morning, We can come because our God is a God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance, a God of new possibilities, a God of grace, a God of forgiveness. Jesus beckons us this morning to leave behind squander and seize. Change your focus. Be spiritually prepared. And the third instruction, the faith challenge that Joshua brings to Israel, abandon yourself in faith. Over the last month, our senior pastor has given us a new word into the Crossway vocabulary. Promptable. Promptable. And it's been exciting to hear so many people walking around using that very new P word. Open to the Spirit. Being promptable. I want to give you a second P word this morning that's going to be new for our dictionary at Crossway in 2017. God wants us to be promptable, but he also wants us to be plungible. He wants us to be plungible. He wants us to get wet. He wants us to get our feet wet. I love this story of faith. You know, there's the Ark of the Covenant that represented the tangible presence of God with his people. And the priests take a step towards the river and it still rages. They take a step towards the river and it still rages. They take another step. I don't know about you, but it's about time. Pull a hamstring. Stone in the shoe. Joshua, sorry, where are the gents? It's getting very real. I like the idea of sitting under a shady tree and God, you dry up the river and I'll be there 125%. But it doesn't work that way, does it? If we want to seize the day today, God is calling us to abandoning faith. Because Crossway, let's remind ourselves, when we step out in faith and obedience, God turns up. God turns up whenever his people step out in faith and obedience. We could go around this room this morning and people could stand up one after another and say, when I dared embrace faith and obedience, God came through. Where do you need God to come through in a new and a fresh way this morning? So the priests carry the ark and the river still rages. And they finally get to the river's edge. And what do we read? As soon as the priest's toenails, as soon as the priest's feet touched the water, God acted. He honored faith. He honored obedience. They broke out of their comfort zone. They allowed themselves to do something new. And God turned up and a whole nation crossed on dry ground. Imagine the conversation that day. Imagine how the conversation changed that week. Because carpe diem, they had seized the day. All of our kids love the water. And over the last 20 odd years, I've taken my kids to beaches and pools on a regular basis. And our little guys, our three young guys, have discovered the Box Hill Aqualink. They love the pool here. And we've already been three or four times because we were told we were moving to Melbourne. It was going to be cold. Yeah, it's balmy. My wife made me buy her an electric blanket. Don't need that in Melbourne, you know. The time's coming, I know. I know. She still has it on when it's 32 degrees, so don't worry. We went to the Aqualink the other day and I was watching my four-year-old and I was remembering back to my 20-year-old, my oldest boy, doing just the same thing. When you first take your kids to the pool, you know, all the parents here, grandparents will relate to this, all that preparation time, get them ready, floaties on, bubble on, swimsuit, sun cream. And where does the kid want to play? The kid wants to play in the toddler pool, in the wading pool, where the feet's only up to their ankles. And why do kids want to play there? Why? You say it. It's safe. It's safe in the wading pool. They're in control. They know who they can splash and who they can't splash. They know the rules of the pool, but ultimately they are safe. There are people here today who are playing it safe. Jesus invites you to a new adventure of faith this morning. Jesus says it's time to leave the waiting pool. And so there is Ada standing on the edge of the big pool. Her dad or a big brother have already got to be in the pool, and straight away it took me back to that same experience about 17 years ago with my then three-year-old boy. He stands on the edge of Lambton Pool. Dad's in the water. Will I or won't I? There's a nervous we. You needed to know that. There's a nervous we. And then he jumps and he goes under and he comes back out. And the first thing, I'm alive. That's a good thing, he says. But then he looks at me and what's he say? I want to do it again. I want to do it again. I want to do it again. I'm no longer satisfied with the wading pool. I'm no longer satisfied with shallow water. I want deep water. And my four-year-old now goes, and all I have to do is stand there because all she does is jump in and out and in and out and in and out. 30 minutes later, she's done. But she's experienced deep water and she wants more of it. Crossway, do we want deep water? Are we satisfied to stay in the wading pool? God calls us to be people who are promptable, people who realign our focus on Jesus, celebrating the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people, you and me. He calls us to clean and fresh hearts. He calls us to dare confront sin afresh in our life. He calls us to obedience. He beckons us with the cross and says, the cross champions the uncrossable. And he invites us to deep water. In your heart, you know what that means for you today. It will mean 1,000 different things in this auditorium today. We're called to abandoning faith. We're called to deep water. We're called to leave behind the wading pool for the first time in our lives. But for many of us who've been followers of Jesus for many years, my heart, my sense is that God wants you to make 2017 your best year yet, a year of greater purpose, a year of significance, a year better than you could have ever dreamt of. But it starts like this. Israel had to move out from their positions and follow God into new territory. And that can be uncomfortable. It can rattle our cage. It can cause us pain and discomfort. But without that, we choose squander. When Jesus says, cease. When Jesus says, cease. Will you stand with me? We stand Crossway. As the team come back to lead us, my sense is this morning that there are people who need to move out from their positions, just like Israel from old. There are people who may need to do new and fresh business with Jesus this morning. People who want to let go of squander, people who want to grasp new opportunities, people who want to once and for all be free of guilt or free of fear or free of condemnation, free of addiction, free of that which is holding you back, free of the chains that prophetic word came to us this morning. And maybe you need to get your feet wet. You need to jump again. Whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or you're new to faith, Jesus invites us this morning to deep water. And I don't think we can do that Crossway without the discomfort of moving. I've already got in trouble this morning because I jumped down in the first service and I'm not allowed to do that. So I won't jump down afresh this morning. But I want to stand here like you, an ordinary person who knows what it is to squander, but who wants to seize the day. And I'll invite you in faith this morning, in obedience this morning. Don't worry about the people around you or beside you. If today you need to seize the day, carpe diem, please come and join me.